Today's year, which is going to be discussing primarily the malach of Kareya, of ripping, or the opposite malach of Telfer, begins with the Sugya Maseches Beita, which doesn't mention the issue of Kareya. And the question that everybody has to deal with is why not? L'chari, the Mishnah and the Gemara are discussing something which should have been a prime candidate for Kareya. For some reason, the Gemara doesn't mention it, and the question is why not? And so we're going to try to work everything backwards. Means from the reason that the Gemara doesn't mention the issue of Kareya, that may teach us something fundamental about Kareya, which may have some very, very real nafkaminas ladina. So the Sugya begins with a Mishnah, Maseches Beita, Nachlamed Beis, Amud Beis. So the Mishnah begins, in Shovin es Acheres, v'en Choschen Aniel es Flos Pomaliach. Mishnah's topic is we're talking about on Yom Tif. On Shabbos, of course, none of this would be relevant. The Mishnah is talking about if a person wants to roast up a little piece of meat or something, so he wants to make a little receptacle, a little clear something, in order to put the piece of meat, the piece of fish on. So something that he may do is he may have an old piece of pottery or something, so he'll just break a piece and use that little piece of pottery to put the piece of meat on. Or he may cut some paper or something. Let's say it's the more modern day application would be to cut a piece of aluminum foil. He can make himself a little bit of a dish to put the piece of meat, a piece of fish on. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. So the Mishnah in Beis says on Yom Tov you can't do that. Shabbos, obviously you're not roasting anything, but even on Yom Tov where cooking is permissible, so these kinds of things would not be permissible. Why wouldn't these things be permissible based on Ochel Nefesh? So these were, it's called an Alocha Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. This is not Ochel Nefesh proper. These are preparatory stages for Ochel Nefesh. This would be like tantamount to sharpening a shechita knife. This would be tantamount to making a pot or something. So the rule of Machshiri Ochel Nefesh is as follows, that according to some Tanoim, Machshiri Ochel Nefesh are totally prohibited. According to other Tanoim, Machshiri Ochel Nefesh are mutter, but only provided if EF Shalasas would be out Yom. That means you couldn't have done it from before Yom Tov began. If you could have just as easily made it from before Yom Tov, then it's prohibited in HaTorah. And that's meekah than a we paskin, like that's split. The Gemara says you shouldn't tell people that. So don't be refined, matter of these four walls. Gemara says we shouldn't tell people that Machshiri Ochel Nefesh are mutter, because it's going to lead to a zilz, and people end up doing things that they're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. But meekah than we paskin that Machshiri Ochel Nefesh EF Shalim Yom Tov are permissible. But these are Efshem Yibiyad Yom, so therefore these are clearly prohibited, and presumably this would be Surum Deraisa. So ask the Gemara, what exactly is involved in this? What is exactly is involved in breaking the piece of pottery or cutting the piece of paper? So that's the Gemara my time. We should become Mesakid Mona, because these are violations of Tikkun Kli, which of course is part of the category of Makkah B'Patish. So you're fixing something, you're creating something, you're building something, you're making a little piece of paper to roast on, you're making a little piece of pottery to roast on. That's an Isser Mishum Tikkun Kli. From the Gemara itself, you can't quite tell whether this is an Isser D'Oraisa or only an Isser D'Rabbanan. Maybe this is an Isser Gomer of Makkah B'Patish, maybe this is only a D'Rabbanan aspect of Makkah B'Patish. So from the Gemara it's not clear, but from the Rambam it's pretty clear. The Rambam in the next Ma'ar Mokom, in the Cheshav is Perich of Gimel HaLochavav. So the emphasis is we only have to read the Rambam to know that the Rambam holds that as an Isser D'Rabbanan, and just from the mere fact that the Rambam put it into Perich of Gimel as a dead giveaway. The Rambam divides the Pilchus Shabbos that he speaks in the first half of Pilchus Shabbos about the Deraisas, and then at the very end of Pilchus Shabbos he starts to talk about all the Derabbanans. So the Acharonim points this out many times. The things that the Rambam put in the later Parakim, Perich of Beis and Chav Gimel, are just not always going to be Derabbanans. So just from the fact that the Rambam even puts this halacha in Perich of Gimel, that in and of itself is pretty much a proof positive that the Rambam holds that these are not the Deraisas of Tikkun Kli, these are only the Derabbanans. But just in case we're not convinced by that, so we can read the last line of the Rambam, v'en shovin es acheres v'en koras anim b'pnei shehu kit misakin kli. So the Rambam does it right, b'pnei shehu misakin kli, that he is misakin kli, that would be a lashon of the Deraisa. But kit, chafadimian, that it's like, it's almost like Tikkun Kli, it's not quite there, it's almost like Tikkun Kli. Clearly the Rambam is holding, but this is not considered to be a Tikkun Gomor, it's just to make into a little aluminum foil piece, or to make into a little pottery piece, that's not Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Kli means you take a broken chair and you screw on the leg, that's called Tikkun Kli. Just a little bit of a Tikkun Koldu like this. This doesn't qualify, doesn't cross the threshold of Tikkun that would be required with Daraisa in order to be a real bona fide Isser D'Oraisa of Makkah B'Patish. So taking the Rambam's approach to the Gemara, so we walk away from the Sugya in Beis Lamed Beis and Beis with the following understanding, that these Yisurim that are mentioned in the Mishnah are only Midrabbanan at worst, they're at worst only Yisurim D'Rabbanan of Makkah B'Patish. So the Chora, there is a very, very basic question on this Mishnah and on the Rambam especially, namely, what are we draying with an Isser D'Rabbanan of Makkah B'Patish for? L'chor, there's an Isser D'Oraisa involved. And what's the Isser D'Oraisa involved? And the Mishnah says that in Choschet HaNiyah, let's spell Maliach, what does that mean? You're taking a piece of, taking a scissors, you're cutting a little piece of paper, cutting a little piece of aluminum foil, in order to make a nice little dish, in order to roast on. Forget about Makom HaPatish. Zolzayin, the Rambam's right, that that's only Makom HaPatish Derabanan. What happened to Kareya Deraisa? Why isn't that goof a violation of ripping on a level of Deraisa? So why does the Mishnah not mention the issue of Kareya? And even in, why does the Gemara not mention the issue of Kareya? And even worse, if the Rambam holds that this is only an issue of the Rabbana, that the issue that's mentioned in the Gemara happens only to be the Rabbana, it's not tikkun kli gomor, but lechor it should be Kareya gomor. Why isn't the issue of Kareya mentioned in this entire sugya? What happened to the avalach of Kareya? So the answer to that question is going to have very serious ramifications in terms of understanding some of the limitations of the malach of Kareya. So l'chora, our first reaction to this kash is, why isn't it Kareya? Maybe based on the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, the most famous Mishnah in Shabbos, Avos Malachos, Avraham Chaser Achas, the Mishnah Nafayim Gibel. So the Mishnah lists off all the Lamates Malachos, and when it lists off the Malach of Kareya, it says that Kareya is only Chayev when it's Amanas Litvon. We spent a lot of time about the Malach of Tfir, about sewing. So the Mishnah defines Malachas Kareya as only being violated when it's Amanas Litvon, when it's being done for the purposes of re-sewing the object back together. So there is a major machlekes in the Rishonim. Again, maybe we'll speak about this in the future, but for our purposes we can justify ourselves by saying there is a major machlekes in the Rishonim as to how to understand pshat in that statement, Kareya Amanas Litvon. Why does the Mishnah require Amanas Litvon in order to be chayef for Kareya? So there are some Rishonim who say that that was the tzuras HaMalach in the Mishkan. The same way the Gemara describes in Masechet Shabbos in the 7th parak, how they used to do Kareya in the Mishkan, when part of the curtains in the Mishkan would rip, and they had to re-sew it. So they sometimes had to rip things in order to enable to sew it properly. So that was the tzuras HaMalach. So therefore, in order to be dumia to Mishkan, in order to meet the halachic criteria of being similar to the Mishkan, it has to be Abed Asa Litvon, nothing more, nothing less. If you do any kind of Kareya, no matter what your purpose is, if it's not Amanas Litvon, you could forget that being an issue deraisa of Kareya. That's how one group of Rishonim writes. That's the reason. It's all like that. Rashi held that way. And then there are other Rishonim, the Rambam included, who clearly don't hold that way. The Rambam happens to hold, in a different context, that Kareya Amanas Litvon is Lav Dafka. It's not an absolute necessity that it has to be Amanas Litvon. So why does the Mishnah confuse us with using the phrase Amanas Litvon? We have a rule called Makalkul and Peturin. We have a rule that if a person does a malacha in a destructive manner, that is not an issur d'oraisa. A person comes and just breaks something and smashes something to smithereens, that's called derech kilkul, and he wouldn't be chayav. A person comes and lights a fire totally to destroy something, so the chayav that wouldn't be chayav. Call him Makalkul and Peturin. So the malach of Kareya, by definition, also is a problem of kilkul. Normally when I rip something, so ripping something is usually derech kilkul. So it's to that the Mishnah is addressing. The Mishnah is saying, don't think that if a person just rips in a destructive manner, that he's going to be chayav. No. You only chayav like a situation of Amanas Litvon. The Mishnah never meant to say Amanas Litvon is dafka, that the only way you chayav is if it's Amanas Litvon. The Mishnah was really giving you an illustration of derech tikkun in contrast to derech kilkul. Lu yitzu, you would be ripping something for some other constructive purpose, even though it wouldn't necessarily be Amanas Litvon. You would also be chayav. The Mishnah was lav dafka. So that's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. What's the nature of Amanas Litvon? What does the Mishnah spell out Amanas Litvon? According to some Mishnah, according to Pashas Rashi Shita, Amanas Litvon is a definition of the malacha. It's a tanai in the malacha. It's dumi de mishkan. The tzuras ha-malacha, the very nature of the malacha of Kareya, is only b'chiyagavna that it's Amanas Litvon. Nothing less than Amanas Litvon will be chayav deraisa. According to the Rambam, it's not true. According to the Rambam, Amanas Litvon is lav dafka. According to the Rambam, Amanas Litvon is just a way of guaranteeing that it's not derech kilkul. But if there's some other way to guarantee, if it happens to be not derech kilkul for half a dozen other reasons, that would also be chayav, that would also be an issur deraisa. So the chora, if we take the approach that Kareya is only chayav Amanas Litvon mamish, so that would of course be the simple solution to our problem. We have a Mishnah, we have a Gemara in Beit Tzedek Lamed Beis that talks about the issur of ripping paper, Choschet HaNiyah, and the Mishnah doesn't say anything about the issur of Kareya. The Gemara doesn't mention Kareya. The Gemara only talks about the issur of Makom HaPatish. What happened to Kareya? So in one fell swoop we can answer that if you hold that Kareya is only chayav Amanas Litvon, you're not going to resell this paper. You're not going to we sell the aluminum foil, you're ripping it and finish. It's going to be ripped the aluminum foil. The only problem is, it's a for constructive purpose. You're doing it. It's not destructive. I'm ripping the aluminum foil because I want to use the aluminum foil. So l'chor, this would be a classic example as an afkamina between the different Rishonim about amanas litfor. According to those Rishonim who say, amanas litfor is chikul yavar, alacha moshim yisina. It has to be kareh amanas litfor, nothing more, nothing less. So then even though this person is ripping for a positive purpose, that would not qualify as Korea. So that would explain why the Gemara didn't bother addressing Korea. But if you take the Rambam's approach that Amanas Litfor is Lav Dafka, Amanas Litfor is just a way of ascertaining that it's Derech Tikkun, not Derech Kilkul. So this is obviously also Derech Tikkun, and one should be chai for this. So in theory, this would be a great answer to the Gemara, to the Mishnah, why the Gemara deleted the idea of Korea. The only problem is it's not going to help us in terms of the Rambam, because the Rambam happens to be the Rishon who holds that Amanas Litfor is Lav Dafka. So everything that I just said outside, the Bre'alocha sums up in one line. So the Bre'alocha and Simen Shin Mem. I don't think I meant him to put the entire Bre'alocha on. Maybe he's there. I don't remember. Could be I just wrote Bre'alocha and didn't write where. So we're not going to read this whole Bre'alocha. It's a Kabbalistic reading. You want to read it on your own. So we'll just start off the kids and Imrits. Take the question of the Bre'alocha. Ein Shoven Bre'alocha and Simen Shin Mem. Siv Zev Yasamach Lo B'Loshin HaRambam. Udvar B'Siv Zev Novem Hashem V'Beit Adaf Lamed Beiz. Hatam Demash V'Leimon. V'Lechora. Lefima Shemukach B'Siv HaSamach. To Korea Amanas L'Sakein Chayim. That's what the Be'alocha uses, coined the phrase. Korea Amanas L'Sakein, meaning not Amanas L'Tfor. Just for a positive purpose. Chayim B'Shim Korea. The Be'alocha happens to hold very, very strongly that the Rambam is correct. That Korea Amanas L'Sakein is Chayim. And he thinks he has a Beferish Gemara like that. And he has many, many Rishonim hold that way. He holds, you know, unequivocally that way, that Korea Amanas L'Sakein is Chayim, even if it's not Amanas L'Tfor. So he asks the Kasha, Amaylo Noma, is that Mishum Korea? Of course, the Be'alocha in his question is opening up the Pesach for us that according to those who disagree, according to those who take on the Rambam, but the Be'alocha doesn't even want to be Mishyachit to them because he holds that it can't be. It's against the Gemara. That's what he claims. So according to those Rishonim who are making, who hold that HaKarem and HaSalitfor is Bamash Pirtek HaMashmo, they of course wouldn't be bothered. They wouldn't need this long Be'alocha. But the Be'alocha's cash is being presented according to his Hanocha that the Rambam is correct, that Amanas Litfor is Lav Dafka, Amanas Litfor is just synonymous with Amanas L'Sakein. So this is a big problem. So maybe we can skip down a line or two. Really the fourth line in the Be'alocha, the end of the line. He says, one of the Acharonim, who shall remain nameless as the Be'alocha, wanted to be Medayek from this Kasha, Mikoch, Mitochomra Kusha, the Gavaldik Yisrael, an unbelievable Chiddush, and really an unbelievable Kula in Melachas Korea. From the fact that the Gemara and the Rambam don't mention Korea, said this one Acharon, the Lo Shayach Korea, Ki Yim Bedavra HaNitvar, the Ne'arag, Shenestabek, Migufim Rabim, the only time Malachas Kareya makes any sense is only like similar to the Mishkan. What does it mean similar to the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, where was Kareya? Kareya was, there were different threads that were sewn together, and sometimes they had to rip them apart in order to fix them. So when you take two separate distinct entities and you combine them together, and then you separate them, that's called Kareya. Well, like we spoke about in terms of Topher, the Rambam writes that Topher can be violated if a person takes two pieces of paper and glues them together, sticks them together. That could be Kareya, that could be Topher. So then the corollary of that is taking them apart, ripping them apart, separating the Ben Advegos. That's considered to be Malachas Kareya. So there's a similarity between gluing paper and separating paper to sewing thread and ripping thread, because those are two separate entities that were combined together. So when you rip them apart, you take them apart, that's called Malachas Kareya. That was, of course, the whole discussion we had about the band-aids and the diapers and all those things that we talked about, the Arichas to Foyantif. However, says the Be'alocha, in the name of this anonymous Acharon, but something which is just one thing, which is just one item, namely a piece of skin, piece of leather, or a piece of paper, so then that was never included in Malachas Kareya. Kareya is only on separate entities that are combined together. When it's one sheet, when it's one entity, one piece of leather, that's bechlal not considered to be Malachas Kareya. So in one fell swoop, the Be'alocha anonymous Acharon just did away with the entire Malachas Kareya in the realm of paper. Because according to this Acharon, catch this, okay, this has letters on it, they have another problem, so there are no letters here. You could do this on Shabbos. Het the Gomer. It's a written piece of paper. That's not called Kareya. Kareya is only ripping apart threads, or if you would have two pieces of paper that are glued together, that would be Kareya. But to rip a piece of paper, that's okay. Imagine, ask most people the following. Which is more of a problem of Kareya? Is it more of a problem of Kareya taking a piece of paper and ripping it up into shreds, taking a scissor and ripping it into threads, or opening up a band-aid on Shabbos, opening up a diaper on Shabbos? So it could be that the opening of the diaper may be more of a problem. Maybe it's also more of other reasons, but that may be more of a problem. You open up the tabs, so that's you're separating two pieces of paper that were stuck together. When you're separating, ripping one piece of paper, that's less of a Kareya problem. So the Be'er Halacha says that it's not true, that this shtickle Torah is just not true. Ze'eino, the mevur b'Rishalmi b'hedya d'orsha atam k'in Kareya. As the Rishalmi that says that there is Kareya by or, u'kvarot z'loma k'en anishmas adam, the Chayyadim himself wanted to say that shtickle Torah, v'dachas em ikarach Rishalmi yozeh. So the Be'er Halacha in one Tosfum says that answer, that Halach, is just wrong. So it's interesting, who was that phantom Acharon? There was no one less than the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, means the Bala Tanya. So he was the one who said this Shulchan Aruch. So the Be'aloka held the Bala Tanya in the utmost esteem. He quotes him all the time. He quotes him by the name of Graz. Graz is the Gaon of Zalman, Shnei Zalman Miladi. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav Mamash all the time. So here in the stomach of the Be'aloka didn't even want to quote him, I think, for two reasons. Number one, he didn't want to give credence to the sheet. He didn't want to say this is a valid sheet. He thought he thinks it's just wrong. And number two, I don't think he wanted to be revised him. That when he just knocked it out so badly, he said, it's against the Shalmi, it's wrong, it's dead wrong, it's nothing to stand on. So he didn't want to even present who it was from. He just said, what's Echad min Acharenim? So whatever reason, the Be'aloka didn't want to refer to him by name. So, Shulchan Aruch HaRav also had to learn a little bit. He also had a pshat in the Rishalmi. So I'm not sure what his pshat in the Rishalmi was. But I call upon him, this is the first Mahalach to our sugya. So again, so we're trying to figure out, why doesn't the Gemara mention Kareya by the Niyar? So one reason would have been, if you hold like Rashi, that it's only Chayav Amanas Lispar, that would have been a good reason. But the Be'aloch is not going to go that route. And the second possible reason is because of there's no Kareya B'chlal by Niyar and by Or, but the Be'aloch is not going to go that route either. So he just knocked off two good Teretzim. So what is the Teretz? So comes the Be'aloch, and it says the following Chiddush Gadol. And you can already tell that he's a trepidation of doing this Chiddush. He opens up with the words Velulei Demistafina. It means that I wouldn't be afraid, I would say the following. And then he goes on to tell you what he's going to say. Velulei Demistafina Avamina Dava Chodosh Pazeh. So it's the Chiddush Gadol. The Lo Shayach Shem Kareya Manas Pasachim Kiyim Kishe Kareya Eze Dava Be'emsa Hu Tzorech Letikun Shneihem Uke'ein Shoye B'mishkan. What does Kareya mean? Kareya doesn't just mean to rip a piece off and to use the piece that I'm ripping off. Kareya means to rip something apart for the purpose of using both pieces. That was the Mishkan. Means they ripped apart, but the threads didn't sew together, right? So they ripped them apart to reuse both of those threads again. That's Malachas Kareya. Kareya, by definition, doesn't mean to rip apart. If you have a roll, you rip something off the roll, that's not called Kareya. Kareya means when I rip something in the middle, and I'm planning on using both parts of what I ripped, that's considered to be Malachas Kareya. Nothing more, nothing less. So now the Be'aloch goes into a 20-line, back and forth rise. Is that true? Is it not true? But at the end of the day, that's the Mahalach that the Be'aloch is going with. Lulei Demistafina. He's afraid to say it, but he thinks that's the embassy. He thinks that's the real, honest-to-goodness reason why the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rambam left out Malachas Kareya. Because this is the Chlal, like I said, to be Malachas Kareya. So basically, to sum up in terms of this Gemara in Maseches Beitza and this Rambam, so we have at least three working pshatim as to why Malachas Kareya is not relevant. Why is it left out of the sugya? So one is, if you hold like Rashi that Kareya is only Chayv Amanas Litfar, so this is not Amanas Litfar, so then there's nothing to discuss in terms of the Arise of Kareya. If you're not willing to go that route, so then if you're willing to go the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's route of Kareya doesn't apply when it's just one piece. The Halach is not willing to go that route either. So the only route that's left for us is the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'aloch is Mahalach, that the new Chiddush Gadol, that Kareya is only Chayav when you require both pieces. If you just want one side, not the other side, that's not considered to be Kareya. So let's take all of these different approaches and start now to analyze some common scenarios of Kareya. And one of them is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah himself in the back of the Marmakamos, which is really doesn't even come from the Mishnah Berurah. We'll get to the tags. Coming to the top of the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yudalos of Kadmah Chafei, which is something that the Mishnah Berurah is matter outright. It's not even a Mishnah Berurah. It comes from the Tesefta. It already comes from the days of the Tanoim, the following Kula. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat al-Chafei, Umutar gamkin the kroah or the apichodesh yayin. It is permissible to rip a piece of skin from the top of a barrel of wine. You put the leather there to protect the wine. Now you want to drink the wine in Shabbos, so it's mutar lechatchila just to rip through the leather. You just have to be careful not to make like a spout type of a thing. If you open up something and make a spout, that's a shot of tikkun kli. You're making something new. But if you're not making anything new, you're just ripping off the top. So that's heter gomer. This is quoted from the name of the Tishefta. So of course the obvious problem is, wait a second, why exactly is this heter gomer? What happened to the problem of karea? So we have to analyze each one of the different reasons that we said why karea wasn't in the parsha in terms of the ripping of the paper and the second basis for the barbecue, and see which of those reasons may apply here. So if you're going with the first mahalach that karea is only chayav when it's amanas litfor, but if it's not amanas litfor, so it's not chayav altogether. So the chora, this would explain why this is not a problem, that this is not amanas litfor. When you're ripping this leather, you're not planning on re-sewing this leather, you're ripping it and throwing it into the garbage. So that, in one fell swoop, that should be at least out of deraisa, maybe at derabanan, but maybe the makom tzarich Shabbos, maybe they will matter it. But clearly the issue of deraisa of karea wouldn't be shayach over here.
The barrel?
I don't know if it was sewn on. I'm not sure how it was exactly connected, but the only way to get it is to be karea the or. That's what it sounds like. You have to rip through the or in order to get it off. Maybe glued on. I don't know. I'm not sure. So if you go with that route of Rashi, those who shown will say, I'm not looking for it, it's necessary. I'm not the socket, it's not sufficient. And then, of course, this would be okay. This would not be a problem. I'm not looking for it. What if you go like the Mishavura that I'm not looking for is lav dafka? Any positive ripping would be a problem. So one could argue maybe this is called a positive ripping. After all, not ripping really to destroy. I'm ripping in order to get to the food underneath. So maybe one could argue that's called derech tikkun. So what possible hetter would be available here? So comes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and say, well, I'll tell you why it's permissible. Comes the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and says, l'chora, the reason why it's permissible is because it's only or, it's only leather, it's only skin, skin is like near, it's only one piece, and the malachas kareah is not shaykh when it comes to one piece. So far, okay, so far we have two possible malachim to understand why the kareah is or miyapiya chavish shayayin is mutter. Of course, the Bir Halacha doesn't accept either one of those, so how can the Mishnah Berurah quote this halacha if he doesn't accept either one of those two reasons? So over the third reason should also apply over here, the reason of the Mishnah Berurah. The person who's ripping the or isn't interested in using both sides of the or, it's probably not interested in using either side of the or. So maybe that's not cool, malachas kareah altogether. When you're ripping or, albeit for a positive reason, albeit it's only one piece, but the Malach holds even one piece of shayach to kareah, you're not ripping it to use both sides, so that's mufka from the malach of kareah. That doesn't have a shem kareah on it altogether. Yeah, you can't tell. Ram never tells you why. Ram just says that the ripping of the paper is not kareah. He doesn't tell you why it's not kareah. I mean, he doesn't even say it's not kareah. He says it's not papish, and the implications it's not kareah.
You see the same thing today if you get like a magazine in the mail.
We're getting to everything. Hold on, hang in there. So again, so we have this list after the Mishnah Berurah quotes Belishum Chaylik that's mutter to rip the R off, and we're just searching for a reason why this should be mutter. So one possible reason is because it's not amanas litfor. Another possible reason is it's or and it's only one piece, so there's no malach of the chalal by or. The third possible reason is because it's, you don't need both sides, so maybe that's why it's mutter. Three possibilities. Comes the Chazon Ish and says, I think that was on the bottom, all we have is the Chazon Ish, Rechaim, some chalal days, but that's what I think it's supposed to say in there. Says the Chazon Ish that, I'll tell you a secret, there's another reason, says the Chazon Ish. And maybe all three of the above reasons are not true. Maybe I'm an Aspen for it, love Dafka. Maybe there is Karen or, and who knows what the Mishnah Berurah Svar is right. But I'll tell you the emissary reason, says the Chazon Ish. You know why it's mutter? Following yourself, says the Chazon Ish. Did you ever crack a nut on Shabbos? Did you ever peel an egg on Shabbos? So there may be other problems involved with cracking nuts and peeling eggs of Dosh and Bayra. We spoke about this already. I don't think it was even last. I think it was already 2 years ago when we had the shed in the middle of the night. That was also in the middle of the night, but it's the morning part of the night. Then it was literally the middle of the night. So we spoke about Dosh and Bora. So we said that according to Rishalma, that I will quote, sometimes peeling eggs and cracking nuts may be a problem of Dosh or Bora, but if it's done for immediate use, then it's going to be mutter. For whatever reason, if it's done out, it's going to be okay. So cracking a nut or peeling an egg is only a potential problem of maybe Dosh and Bora. But one thing it's not, says the Chazon Ish, it's not Kareah. Why is it a karea? You're peeling an egg. So you're ripping the peel. You're breaking through the peel. When you're cracking a nut, you're breaking through the shell. Why isn't that called malachas karea? Says the Chazanish. The answer is that the shell of the nut or the peel of an egg doesn't have an entity in and of itself. Its whole purpose is to protect the egg. Its whole purpose, the Rebbe Shalom created it, is that it should protect the egg. The Rebbe Shalom created the shell that it should protect the nut inside. So says the Chazanish, it's not considered to be subject to the malach of kireya. It's bottled to the oichel. It's considered to be oichel. There's no, for lack of a better term, there's no kireya be'ochel. I mean, there's no such klal like that. We just made up that klal. I mean, that's not called kireya. Kireya means when you rip a piece of paper, that's called kireya. You rip a piece of aluminum foil, that's called kireya. You rip something that's part of a food, that's not called kireya. Anuchom, you're not allowed to cut a piece of chicken on Shabbos. It's kireya, because you're ripping the chicken in half. That's not called kireya. So says the Chazanish, not only is there no kireya on the food itself, but then eating that's bottled, that's toppled to the food, is also not shaykh to kareya. So comes the Chazanish now with a big chiddush. He says, my nafkamina, whether the Ribbono Shel Olam is protecting the food, or whether we decide to protect the food. So we create our own shell. What do we call it? An or, apichav shel yayin. That's a man-made shell, a manufactured shell. So says the Chazanish, anything that was wrapped around the food for the express purpose of protecting the food, so that's not shayach to the malach of kareya altogether. That's like cutting a piece of chicken in half. That's like cutting a potato in half. That's like peeling an egg. That's like cracking a nut. That's not considered to be the malach of kareya altogether. So the Chazanish just tells us, Gaval the Chiddush, he jumped from natural shells and natural peels to artificial, to man-made shells and peels. And that's what kareya or me'al pei chavash or yayin is.
The leather at one point was its own end. I mean, there is a difference.
That's true. Okay, but right now it's being used. Right now it's forming a protection. That's the Chazanish. You don't have to say it's the Chazanish. That's the Chazanish.
My question would be that if you have a natural shell and you break it and you just put it back together, that wouldn't be taken complete. But if you had, let's say, they have these plastics where if you rip off the top and then you can separate it. And then you can
put
it back again.
Maybe take complete merit.
Maybe
it could be. So this idea of the Chazanish that somehow we can equate, you know, in the natural world, in the man-made world, that something that's artificial, something that's man-made to protect food, somehow is considered to be like bottle to the food. It's like part of the food. So the emphasis of Moshe has that svara in a different context. Moshe has a legabitik and clue a little bit. Moshe has this famous kula when it comes to cans. Moshe holds that opening a can, he holds me'ikra did, opening a can on Shabbos is really mutter. Not when you're making, you know, fancy openings or, you know, with those kinds of things. It's just taking off the top of the can of tuna fish or something. The Ikra did Ramay Shalz is Mutah, and you know why? He gives the same muscle as the Chazanish by Kareya. He says, it's like cracking a nut, it's like peeling an egg. He says, what's a can? The whole purpose of the can is just to protect the food. So he claims that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos that says, when you have a quote unquote kli, that the whole purpose of the kli is to protect the food, so that's not called kli, that's called a food, that's not considered to have a shame kli on it. So it's a similar svar. The Chazanish is talking about Malachas Kareya. He's declaring that the Or Piachavis is bottled to the food, bottled to the wine, and Ramay Shalz was like, a different level. Hopefully we get the opening cans. That's it. The rate
of it. Well,
it was a different malach. The Chazanish was talking about malachas kireya, and Ramesh was talking about malachas soser, about breaking something.
Why isn't this also?
Ramesh has a svar. Why isn't kriya or considered to be soser? So Ramesh has a svar that we only find bona and soser by hard kalim. We find it by barrels. You find kireya and soser by pieces of furniture. You find kireya and soser. Something which is soft and, you know, movable, like or Ramesh is not sure whether we find bona and soser. That's a big enough community vote. Potato bags, things like that, is the b'chlal bona and soser. Hopefully, we get the rate of a gona. We're up to kareya. So hopefully, now this is the third year that we're learning. So hopefully in about 2 years from now we should get to well, we're going to go a lot of the malachas which are in the middle, which have to do with weaving, so we'll just kind of, you know, since nobody knows what any of them are anyway, so we'll kind of gloss over them quickly. But it's a similar svara. It's interesting that the svara of Moshe is not just the svara of Hilchos Shabbos; it's the svara of Hilchos Kashrus also. Moshe is the following kula in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, based on a very, very similar idea. The famous shaila about Tefilas Kelim. So we just asked Mishali yesterday. The famous shaila about Tefilas Kelim. Let's say you go to the store, you buy a bottle of grape juice, and you finish, you drink the bottle of grape juice, and now you want to reuse the bottle, so you want to fill it up with more grape juice, you want to fill it up with water, you want to fill it up with orange juice, whatever you want to reuse the bottle. The Shiloh Tefilas Kelim, because the kli was made by a goy. So Kol Zman, that the original grape juice was in it, So we're assuming that's okay. The Chazanish questioned that. The Chazanish had a chumrah. He said, when you buy a jar of coffee, the Chazanish held, you have to empty out the jar of coffee, tovo the jar, and then put the coffee back in. So the minhag is not like that. We assume that whatever is inside the jar of Asher at the beginning, so that's not really considered to be you're using the kli. It's already there, and you're just emptying out the kli rather than actually using the kli. That's what the minhag olam is lahakil. But the shaila is, what if you want to reuse the jar? You want to reuse the jar of coffee? You want to reuse the bottle? Is that okay? So many achrayim held, it's a problem. Many both can melt. You have to tovel it before you reuse it. So Rav Moshe had a chiddush gadol. Rav Moshe said, no, you don't have to tovel it. You know why? Kol zman that the bottle was made in the factory or the jar. Kind of maybe a big example. Maybe it's a Jewish. I don't know. I think they make it in Canada. I think they make the bottles. I'm not sure who owns that factory. They had a jar of I don't know. You fold just coffee. You have a jar of a coffee made by a Goyish company. So Kozman, that the coffee's in the jar, so the whole purpose of the jar is just to protect the coffee. What else do you have a jar for? So right now, that jar is bottled to the coffee. It's bottled to this coffee. So it doesn't have a shame kli yet. So it says, that's why you're allowed to use it. That's why you're allowed to empty it out. When does it get a shame kli? Once you decide to use it, not just for Folgers coffee, you want to now use it to put something else in it, so you're the one who made it to shame kli. Guess what? The good news is you're Jewish. So you created a kli. So you made a kli. This kli never was on by a guy. So Rav Moshe says, razzle dazzle chiddush. That tshuva of Rav Moshe, the chustavu of Skalim, is l'shitasa in hukas opening cans on Shabbos, which is basically the same as the chazanishya by Kareya. It's this whole mahalach in halacha that when you have something, even though it's man-made, that primarily is made to protect the food, it doesn't have a shame kli, it doesn't have a shame Kareya. Basically bottled to the food itself. Hold on, we're getting there. Hold on. So bottom line, Lamaisa, everybody agrees you're allowed to rip the or off. That's the perception. The Shabura quotes that Pelishim Chalek. Why is it Mutta? We have four Mahalchim. Either because it's not a Manaslis for, or because it's Niyar, or because it's because you don't need both pieces, or because it's bottled to the food. So come the poskim today and say, comes up Shlomo Zalman, it's quoted by Shmuel Shabbos, who says, Mechura, all of these svaras will apply to opening packages also. Well, hopefully we'll talk about opening packages down the line, but we're going to focus primarily on the malachas of three possible malachas by opening packages. Possible malach of Bona, so the Chazmish held. Possible malach of Soser, that's where Moshe presented before his kula, that he doesn't have to rely on anyway. You have the 40-page tshuva, he doesn't have to really rely on it. And other possible malach is Machla Papish. The only malach that is not really addressed in terms of opening bags and packages, what happened to Korea? How can you even dream of opening a bag of potato chips? It's Korea. How can you think of opening up a box of cereal? It's Korea. So why isn't it Korea? So you have to go through all the different reasons. So if you go with the mahalach, that's not a manas to look for, kabbalik, you're not going to resell the bag of potato chips again. If you go with the mahalach of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that it's not, it's one piece, so that'll depend. Some packages are one piece, some not. So opening a bag of potato chips, so it may depend how you open it, which part you open it, because the top is sealed, right? It's two pieces of paper that are sealed together. If you rip through the middle of the bag itself, so that would be okay according to Shulchan Aruch Harav. If you start to rip through a part where it's sealed together, that could potentially be worse according to Shulchan Aruch Harav. According to the Mishnah Berurah L'chor, it's totally okay because you don't need both pieces. You don't need either pieces. You just want to get rid of the bag. According to the Chazanish, it's mutter because it's bottled to the food, so it's not a shame kareya altogether. So L'chor L'chol HaDeyas, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, it would appear that the opening of bags is not a problem of Korea. Doesn't mean that it's mutter. Maybe he has a dozen other problems of bonus also not Matish, but at least the Korea we've cleared the day. So you have an interesting aura that you made. That this kula of opening up the bags, like the post give the example, the most modern day example of Korea's or me apichavish yayin is like the opening of the aluminum foil off the tops of the yogurts. That's mamish the same thing. You rip it off the paper. So that would be mutter bash the holidays, these kinds of things in terms of Malachas Korea. That may be true when it comes to food. What if it's not food inside the bag? What if it's silverware inside the bag? What if it's something else inside the bag? So all those coolers apply? Not so poshut. So it's not a manaslut for, that's true. It's one piece also. Maybe you don't need both sides, but according to the Chazanish, that wouldn't apply. According to the Chazanish, it was a unique cooler by food because of the fact that the bag becomes bottled to the food. I don't know if you would say the bag becomes bottled to the spoons and forks. So you have to look at each case and see whether just in one fell swoop we can ignore Malachas Kareya. So hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about Kareya in the next year, and then when we come back to opening packages down the line, so we may come back to some of these call-ups to see where the interplay between these Malachas.
Okay. So. Zuri, how are you?
Also, Monday, it's a Monday. I think Monday.